Today's reading is from Matthew 28, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Hello? You can't hear me still, can you? Can you hear me now? Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Thank you so much, James, and thank you, Jenny, as well, for leading us in prayer. Good morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true, that it's living and active. And we place ourselves, Lord, under the authority of your word. We pray, speak to us, encourage us, comfort us, challenge us, convict us, and bring revelation that leads to transformation through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. If we've not met before, my name's Matt, and I have the great privilege of leading Emmanuel. And today we're looking at the Great Commission, these verses in Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to be thinking about how when it comes to church, every single one of us is called to come and to belong. And I want to start this morning by saying this. For the church, and remember, in this instance, when I say church, I'm referring to the people of God, not bricks and mortar, which, by the way, is why it's lovely not having a permanent building of our own. This helps us understand this. The church being the people of God. For the church to be all that we can be, you are essential. For the church to be all that we can be, you are essential. And here at Emmanuel, we believe that all of us are called to come and to belong and to serve and to give financially to the mission and ministry of the Lord. These are the basic practices, if you like, that kind of constitute being part of the family of God, part of the church. And I want to start with a question. Do you think that you are essential? Maybe in the shower this morning you used some essential oils. Maybe when you saw yourself in the mirror at home, you were struck by your own essentialness. Do you think of yourself as essential? Well, whether you do or don't, whether you feel like that or not, the good news, friends, is that Jesus sees you as essential. And when Christ looks at you, he loves you. He rejoices over you with singing. He delights in you. And what's more, not only does Jesus see you as essential, there is a calling that Jesus has placed on your life to be effective. Thing I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Friends, there is no such thing as passive discipleship. There is no such thing in God's economy as inactive apprenticeship. I imagine those of you that have ever taken on an apprentice, if that apprentice never showed up, never did any work, never did anything, you would have some quite strong views about them. Maybe some strong, not necessarily positive feelings towards them. There is no such thing as passive, inactive apprenticeship. And so if we want to be effective followers of Jesus, then we must actually follow him. It sounds really obvious, I know. But effective disciples, as we read in this text, are those who make disciples. Jesus says go, and Jesus says make. Go and make. These are proactive words. This is intentional language. This is good news to the activists amongst us, those of us who hate sitting around staring at a daffodil. This is good news. And a few things come to mind here. First of all, Jesus emphasizes this word, go. And the fact that he does this is interesting. The disciples were used to the practice of gathering together. They were people who were good at meeting together. They were in the regular habit of enjoying time with one another. And yet, despite this, they still needed to be encouraged to meet together. But even more so, they needed encouragement to go and to make disciples of all nations. Now, you might be familiar with the phrase coming and going, or maybe toing and froing. Maybe you use these phrases in conversation with others. Ah, you all right? What have you been up to this week? Oh, you know, just the usual coming and going, toing and froing. But friends, when it comes to the question of church attendance, sadly many people, and I'm really talking about Christians here, those who claim to know and to love Jesus and who claim to follow Jesus, end up neither coming or going. It's become normal in our culture today to claim to be a churchgoer, but in reality, you go once a year at Christmas. Perhaps if you're doing really well, you also make a service at Easter too. And this side of the COVID pandemic, all of the research shows that phrases like regular church attendance, which used to mean I go to church week in, week out, has come to mean, yeah, I go kind of once every 3 or 4 weeks, or twice a month, or when the golf course isn't waterlogged, or when the football match has been cancelled, or when I feel like it. Friends, this is a far cry from the heart of God for us. It's a far cry from what the disciples and the early believers were used to. Now, you might be thinking, why on earth is Matt banging on about church, about going to church? In Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go into the world. He's not telling them to go to church. If we have our next slide, thanks, Justin. I want us this morning to remember the words of the writer of Hebrews. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, where we read this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The writers of Scripture knew, as Jesus knew, and by the way, Jesus still knows, that the most effective apprentices are those who show as well as go. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you committed to showing up as well as to going out? Are we, Emmanuel Church, a people committed to regularly gathering together? We have our next slide. Thanks, Justin. I wonder, do you want to grow and to mature as a follower of Jesus? Do you want to grow in your love, knowledge, and hunger for God and for Scripture, His Word, and for His presence? Just take a moment, think carefully and honestly about your answer to this question. It's a really important question for each of us. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you're okay with a kind of arm's length spirituality that makes very little difference to your week outside of a Sunday, but you're happy to come to church because you love the coffee and the free childcare. If we have our next slide. Friends, and I'm speaking here to those of us who've already said yes to Jesus, who've already taken up our cross to follow him. Hear this morning. Growing up looks like showing up in order to go out. Growing up looks like showing up in order to go out. And we have this sequence here in Matthew 28. If you look at the Bible, look at the Bible open before you. First, the disciples come. They meet together at the mountain where Jesus has told them to go. That's in verse 16 of Matthew 28. Next, in verse 17, they worship Jesus. And then finally, in verse 19, they are sent out by Jesus to go and make disciples. Friends, the Lord's will for each of us is that we would be those who are growing through our showing. And then going and sowing seeds of hope as the wind of the Spirit is blowing. Or to put it another way, God's heart for all of us is to be those who are intent on being sent. Or to put it another way, it's through our being present with one another that we become a present to another. It's through our being present with one another that we become a present, a gift to another. Jesus knew and still knows that the quality of our going is directly influenced and impacted by the quantity of our showing. In other words, those who come and who show up and who do not neglect meeting together become those who go, having already been built up, encouraged, edified, blessed, taught, trained, ministered to, prayed for, challenged, comforted, encouraged. So therefore, if we are to be those who go, we must be those who come. And this is where the second part of today's message comes from. This core practice of belonging, come and belong, is what we're thinking about today. It's as we come, it's as we gather together that we realize we belong. You belong here. It's true. It was Jesus who said again in Matthew's gospel, Matthew clearly being the best book in the Bible, obviously. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Come to me. All who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, and you will find rest for your souls." If we have our next slide. I love this quote from Mother Teresa. So many great quotes from Mother Teresa. She said this, "Today, if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other." Friends, there can be no belonging without being. We cannot belong to one another if we are not being with one another. And similarly, how can we proclaim to belong to Jesus if we're not in the regular practice of being with him? There can be no discipleship, no disciple making, if there are no disciples to be found. Think for a moment about Jesus' command to make disciples. Remember, discipleship is active. It's not passive. If we're to be those who make disciples, then we first of all need to know what a disciple is. We need to know what a disciple looks like. We need to be a disciple ourselves. And this is why books like Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer, which I'd encourage everyone to read, are so helpful to us as followers of Jesus. Discipleship or apprenticeship is a journey. It doesn't happen in an instant. It's a journey of spiritual formation with the primary goal of being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing the things that Jesus did. All of which raises the question, and here's a challenging question that I would love all of us to just have a moment of soul searching and real kind of honesty and clarity and answer this question for yourself. Are you the kind of disciple that is worth replicating? Are you the kind of disciple that is worth replicating. If all disciples looked like you, if they lived the way you live, if they did the things you do, if they spent money the way you spent money on the things you spent money on, how would the church look? Would the church be okay? God calls us to be the kind of disciples that are worth replicating. If we have our next slide. Now, at different points over the years, my wife Sarah and I have belonged to the National Trust. I nearly said National Front, but that's something very different. Have belonged to the National Trust. We've enjoyed many visits to stately homes, beautiful gardens, quaint cafes. But the truth is, if we never ever went to a National Trust venue again in our lives, we would still have been counted as members because we paid the yearly membership fee and therefore we belong. But when it comes to the church, the price has already been paid. We don't need to pay anything. Ours is a lifetime membership. We belong because Jesus bled. We belong because Jesus beckons us to come and to belong. We belong because, as we say when we celebrate communion, we are one body and we all share in one bread. But as part of this belonging, as part of our belonging, each of us is called to prioritize fellowship, which is a Christian word for being together. Each of us is called to see the value of being together, to be those who come, who show up week after week, who belong, who serve, who give financially, who give of their time and their talents to the mission and ministry of Jesus and his church, who take seriously this business, this call of discipleship making, disciple making. And friends, it's as we come, and it's as we belong, that our beliefs and our behaviors are cultivated and crystallized. Some of you in the room will be familiar with this approach that the church, many churches the world over, has insisted on, which is this: believe, then behave, and then you can belong. But there is another model, and what I would say is a better model, which is this: first of all, belong. Know that you are loved. Know that there is space for you here. Belong. And as you belong, believe. And that faith and that response to Jesus will then impact and influence your behavior. Belong, believe, behave. In coming together and in gathering together and with being with one another, we are nurtured, we're formed, and we become the very people God has made us to be. It's as we belong. And sadly, the church often gets this wrong. There can sometimes in the church be this obsessive and graceless focus, first of all, on people's beliefs. Oh, I can't associate with them because they're a literal seven-day creationist, and that's crazy. I can't spend time with them. Or, oh no, they disagree with women being in leadership, so I'm not going to associate with them. Or, oh, they believe actually that the Galatians were right, we should all circumcise ourselves, so I'm not going to spend any time with them. There's this obsession in the church that before we can belong, we first need to be in complete agreement and alignment with one another on every single thing. And I'm going to teach you a biblical word. That's rubbish. The word skubados from Philippians 3 in the Greek, which means something slightly stronger than rubbish, which I won't say because this is being recorded. But that's what that kind of approach is. If we have our next slide. We're called, first of all, to be those who simply invite people to come and who encourage people to belong. beliefs and behavior will follow, but we must prioritize belonging first. Do you remember the thief on the cross? I love the thief on the cross. He's an absolute spanner in the works for theologians. I love the thief on the cross. According to the Bible, the thief on the cross did not get baptized. The thief on the cross didn't take communion. The thief on the cross wasn't confirmed. The thief on the cross didn't do an alpha course. The thief on the cross didn't confess and admit to all his burglaries. The thief on the cross never did any theological training. The thief on the cross didn't go on mission trips. The thief on the cross didn't volunteer at his local food bank. The thief on the cross didn't speak in tongues. The thief on the cross didn't give his money to the poor. The thief on the cross didn't even repent of his sins or say the Lord's Prayer. Instead, the thief on the cross simply asked to belong. He simply asked to belong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what does Jesus say in response? Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It's so beautiful. Friends, if this screw up, which is a technical word, if this thief grasped the importance of being with Jesus and the importance of belonging to Jesus, then how much more should we? How much more should we? If we have our next slide. I'm going to share a story, a testimony of my own with you. To this day, one of the most profound, powerful, overwhelming and disarming encounters that I have had of the Holy Spirit that I've ever experienced was during a Coldplay concert at Wembley Stadium. This will be a hard testimony for those of you that can't stand Coldplay. As Coldplay sang their song Paradise with a sold-out choir of 90,000 people for company, there was this glimpse and this breaking in of heaven as together we all sang and screamed at the top of our lungs, paradise. It was a moment of raw emotion. It was a moment of unfiltered belonging. It was a holy moment. And in this moment, I sensed the Holy Spirit so powerfully resting on me, encountering me, pressing down on me as a bunch of strangers were joining together and being joined together simply by singing and hoping and longing and yearning for a better life than this one, for a better life to come. Who knew that Coldplay carried such an anointing? At the AGM last Sunday evening, those of you that were here, you would have heard that 3 years ago, Emmanuel had 93 members. This is over 18s. And that now Emmanuel has 132 members. Our children and youth worker Emma also shared the encouraging news that we have over 70 under 18s across all of our Sunday registers, 70. And on Easter Sunday, at least three people made a decision to commit their lives to Christ for the very first time and to step into the hope of faith and friendship with Jesus. And these are all amazing blessings and signs of God at work. And it's a huge encouragement that people are coming to faith here at Emmanuel and that our numbers are growing. I love what we read about the early church in Acts, and the Lord added daily to those who are being saved. And another huge encouragement here is that we are welcoming new people every week. I'm still trying to learn some of your names, and new people are coming every single week. And the challenge here is for all of us to realize that we are all responsible for the welcome of the church. All of us. And therefore, all of us need to speak to new people. We need to welcome others. And as a church, we need to come up with clear ways of helping new people integrate and belong. God is blessing us richly, friends, at the moment. And I'm so thankful. And every day I remember to thank God for what he is doing. But in addition to all of these encouragements, I know that there will be people in our church family who are barely coming. And there will be people in our church family who feel as if they barely belong. There will be people in our church family who are content with remaining anonymous, with staying in the shadows, and who are not in a midweek discipleship hub. There will be others in our church family who are carrying resentment, who are bearing grudges, who are avoiding one another. There will be others who are holding on to unprocessed and unhealed pain. There will be those in our church family who criticize and who gossip. There will be others who complain about the noise of young children in church. There will be others in our church family who've been coming for a long time, but who do not yet give financially to the mission and ministry of God and his church here at Emmanuel, and who think that the church exists to meet their needs and to serve their preferences and their agendas. And then there are people in this church family who come every week and who serve and who give financially and who share their time, their talents, their gifts, and their lives with others, with little to no fuss or fanfare. And there are people in this church family who carry the most inspirational love for God and for people, and who shine radiantly with the beautiful grace and kindness of God, and who bring an incredible hunger for the Holy Spirit and for the things of God's kingdom. And friends, be encouraged. It was ever thus. It's always been this way. Since the very beginning of time, these things, these problems, are not exclusive to Emmanuel. They're true of all churches the world over. I knew a vicar that used to say, the church is full of saints and fatheads. Which one are you? But why is this the case the whole world over, in God's church, all around the world? It's the case because the people of God, remember, we are the church, the bride of Christ, is made up, the church is made up of wounded healers, as Henri Nouwen so beautifully observed. All of us come, every time we gather, every time we belong together on a Sunday, all of us come with our own pain, our own brokenness, our own bruises. But what a beloved bride we are. And how much more of God's grace do we find to cover all of our grievances whenever we come to him and whenever we gather with one another. Friends, God's love and God's grace is greater than all of our pain, all of our sin, and all of our shame. We have our next slide. I want to say, whichever category you fall into, however you're feeling, whatever you're going through right now, wherever you've come from, whatever you're thinking right now, know this. Jesus sees you. And Jesus loves you. And there is nothing whatsoever that you can do, and there is nothing that you've already done that can make Jesus love you any more or any less than he already does. Jesus sees you. The welcome team might miss you. Someone might forget to speak to you. Someone might call you the wrong name the second week you come to church. But Jesus sees you. Jesus knows you. Jesus longs for you to know him. Remember, friends, what I said earlier. All of us are essential to Jesus and to his church. God's heartfelt will and desire for us is that we would become effective disciples, the kind of disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, and so on and so forth. Can I give us all a bit of homework? Can we all disciple one person? Can we pray and ask the Lord, God, who are you bringing across my path that you want me to share you with? Friends, if all of us were discipling one person, we would have a lot of logistical problems when it comes to gathering together on Sundays. The most beautiful, the best kind of problems. The ripple effects would be enormous. And I believe the Lord wants us to be a transformed and a transforming people. A people who are being formed and transformed by the love of God and who will then transform the world with the truth, kindness, beauty, and hope of Jesus. Did you know that God is far more interested in your devotion than in your duty? I love that song that Lee played last week. A beautiful worship video. All about kind of trying to impress God and getting it wrong. And then God just speaking and singing love over us. And when I hear people say that I'm not religious, I often say, great, me neither. When people say I don't believe in God, I often ask them to tell me the kind of God they don't believe in. And more often than not, I don't believe in that God either. We have our next slide. Friends, it's my deep and sincere belief and conviction today that God longs for your affection over your activity. He wants your presence over your perfection. He's far more interested in how you are being formed and how you are forming others than in how you are performing. Friends, if you hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts. Instead, come. Come to Jesus and belong. Belong to Jesus. Welcome Jesus into every part of your life, into all that you are, and allow his church, this beautiful broken bride, to welcome you. The final thing, really briefly, I want to say today is that if we are to be an effective, transforming church, then we must always start with worship. This is what the disciples did. Look at verse 17 of Matthew 28. When the disciples saw Jesus, they agreed a policy. They wrote a risk assessment. They formed a committee. They approved a budget. No. They worshipped him. They worshipped him. If we have our next slide. This is why, as I was sharing at the AGM, prayer and worship sits at top spot, at number one, in our key priority areas as a church. All that we are, all that we do must begin with and end with and be underpinned by and covered by prayer and worship. But in verse 17, we read this, some doubted. Some doubted. Earlier in those verses from Hebrews, we remember that some had given up meeting together. And my prayer for each of us here at Emmanuel is that we would not be those who neglect to meet together. That we would not be those who doubt. My prayer is that we would be those who come and who belong and who stay. Come, belong, and stay. So to paraphrase the renowned British punk rock band, The Clash, will you come and will you go? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to make a disciple of you? Will you surrender to the transformative grace of God and allow his grace to smooth your rough edges so that you can make disciples of others? This is what God requires of us, to go and to make disciples. May we be careful not to turn the great commission into the great omission. May we be those who actually do what Jesus has commanded us to do. And may we be those who come and who belong and who show up in order to grow up and go out. Amen? Amen. Friends, in a moment we're going to give an encouragement to collect children. Finally, I just want to share some things that I believe the Lord has said to me, and I would love to encourage you to find someone you know, love and trust here, or to come forward for prayer ministry at the end of our service if any of these respond to you, because we don't just want to say amen at the end of a sermon, we want to actually live this stuff out. We want to do what God is calling us to do. And so there are a number of invitations that I believe the Lord would present to us this morning. First of all, I believe there is an invitation for us to repent and to return to the Lord, where we've neglected to meet together, where we've stopped showing up, where we've hardened our heart to a brother or sister. There's an invitation for us to repent and to return to the Lord. I also think there's an invitation to forgive one another and to be reconciled to one another. And as we do this, we will see relationships mended, healed, and restored. I think the Lord is extending an invitation to contend for healing. That there's an invitation to bring all of our unprocessed, all of our unhealed pain before the Lord. I think there's a call to humility that the Lord is extending to us this morning. There's an invitation to posture ourselves under God's mighty hand rather than positioning the church underneath our own preferences and opinions. I think there's an invitation to come and to belong. If you're new to Emmanuel, if you're kind of hovering around the edges, we would love you to make your home here with us. Come and belong. Come to a monthly worship night. Come to a curry night this week. Join our database, receive our emails, join a midweek discipleship hub group. And then finally, and I think this is a key one for us, in this time where God is blessing us so beautifully, I feel the Lord is inviting us to guard against complacency, to guard against becoming complacent. It's true that God is blessing Emmanuel in wonderful and precious ways at the moment. But friends, this may not always be the case. And we must guard our hearts. And we must remember to always praise him and to thank him and to give him the glory and to never stop seeking him and to daily take up our cross and lose ourselves time and time and time again in wonder, love, and praise. So I'm going to invite Pete and the worship guys to come back up. Love to invite you to stand if you're able. I'm going to say a prayer for us. Then it's going to be time to collect children from their groups. Prayer ministry team, those of you who are on this morning, if you could come and stand as well and be ready to pray for people. Holy Spirit, we thank you for all that you're doing at Emmanuel. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to come, to show up, and then to belong, to be present to one another and with one another. And then you send us out. And Holy Spirit, fall afresh on each one of us today. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to serve the Lord, we pray. Lord, we surrender afresh to you. We surrender under your mighty hand. We say that you are God and we are not. And we love you and we want to do what you tell us to. Help us to come. Help us to gather. Help us to belong. And be at work in us and through us by the transforming power, the redemptive power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to sing our final worship song. Parents, guardians, it's now time to go and collect your children from their groups. So please do that now, but please also let's remain sensitive to those who are still worshiping, who are meeting with God. If you would like prayer for anything, then there will be a prayer ministry team over here on my right, your left. There will be people that would love to pray for you. Or please speak to someone you know here and trust and ask them to pray for you. But we're going to worship together with one more song. Thanks, Peter.